May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today as we look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. The pure in heart see God. And you can find this study on abideinchrist.com in both English and Spanish on our websites, abideinchrist.com. Go to sermons and Bible studies and click on Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. The pure in heart see God. Moses saw God. The Lord God used to speak to Moses face to face, and just as a man speaks to his friend, we're told in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. Moses communed with God, and he was a friend of God. What a high honor and privilege. But even Moses could not look upon the glory of the Lord God and live. We're told this in Exodus chapter 33, verses 19 through 23. And he said, I myself will make all my goodness to pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. These words of the Lord God are clear. And he went on to say, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. And then the Lord God said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock, and it will come about that while my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. And then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not see. Exodus chapter 33, verses 19 through 23. No one had looked into the face of the Lord God until he became flesh and dwelt among men. The Apostle John tells us, John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. John chapter 1, verses 14 and 18. However, Moses had an unusual experience with God. And when he came down from Mount Sinai, Moses didn't know that the skin of his face shone because he was speaking with him. Exodus chapter 34, verse 29. And such shining is always unconscious. His brother Aaron saw that the skin of his face shone, and they became afraid to come near him. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord God to speak with him, he would take off the veil until he came out. And whenever he came out and speak to the sons of Israel what he had been commanded, the sons of Israel would see his face, and that the skin of Moses' face shone. And so Moses would replace the veil over his face until he went in to speak with him again. Exodus chapter 34, verses 30 through 35. A general irradiation and illumination radiated the face of Moses. His whole face was irradiated in a strange, wonderful, and unusual manner in which those familiar with him had never seen before. The Hebrew word is used for a sunrise, and this spiritual illumination for Moses was so mighty, so powerful, that it irradiated his countenance. His spirit had entered into a new fellowship with the Lord God. His whole personal being was mastered, captured, illuminated by the fellowship with God, and he was supremely conscious of God. King David asked the age-old question, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? And then he proceeded to answer it, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Jesus said the spiritually prosperous will see God. The spiritually prosperous have a pure heart. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And that's what Christianity is all about. The gospel of Jesus Christ is concerned about the condition of the heart and our seeing God. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart." The Pharisees in Jesus' day, much like the legalists in our day, were scrupulous, concerned about the eternal ritual purification. They ignored the inside. They kept the letter of the law, but the heart was unclean. Jesus was not concerned with the religious rituals, but the defiling influences of sin upon the inner man. Matthew chapter 23, verses 25 through 28. Out of the heart proceeds, and Jesus went on to emphasize, evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. The condition of the heart was the center of all his teachings. Everything came from the heart. The word heart refers to the center and the source of the whole inner life. It's thinking, feeling, and volition. It's the place where we make our moral decisions. It's the computer center or control room of our personality. The heart represents the whole of our inner state, the thought, the will, as well as our emotions. It is the center and the source of the whole personal life with its thinkings, feeling, and volition. Psychologically, it's the seat of man's combined energies, the focus of his personal life, the seat of his rational as well as his emotional and volitional elements in the human life. This is the center of the moral and the religious life of the individual, and the spiritual influence and activity have their origin in the heart of man. Jesus is concerned that the very center of our being is pure. He demanded purity of heart. He stated that this is the core of the problem with man. It is not his circumstances, but the center of his personality where the problems develop. The result of this kind of purity is that they see God. The word pure has the root idea of one that is being cleansed, free from the impure mixtures, without blemish or spotless. The basic idea is single-mindedness. The pure in heart have clarified their values and have pure motives. There are no hidden agendas, no double motives, no self-interest. They declare with all of their heart, "I can do nothing else, so help me God." There is a singleness of mind as to motive and service. The pure in heart is completely loyal to God because cleansing of the heart has taken place, and they are free of dishonesty and deceit. The pure in heart have an intimate fellowship with the Lord God, which comes only through a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. It is not a once-in-a-lifetime or once-in-a-great-while, but a daily surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives. A religious leader asked Jesus one day, Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 38, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment." If your relationship with God is right, you'll love him with all of your being. The pure in heart is one in whom there is no deceit, but genuine, honest, open transparency before the Lord God and men. The primary idea is sincerity with God. Motives and goals are not divided when the heart is pure. There is a single-minded focus on the kingdom of God. The pure in heart do not try to serve God and self at the same time. There's a clear motive and loyalty to the Lord God. The goal of the pure in heart is to please God alone. So therefore, the thoughts and emotions are focused on a right relationship with Him. Their only interest is to serve God with complete, total, sincere devotion to Him. When we have such a relationship with God, we are free to take off the mask and enter into His holy presence as His welcome friend. The Bible speaks much of the opposite of the pure in heart. The opposite of a pure in heart is one who is divided, and without singleness of purpose it is impure. The double-minded person tries to serve both God and the world system. The Apostle James in chapter 4, verse 8 wrote, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." The divided self tries to serve two opposing masters at the same time. The double-minded are blind spiritually, and their loyalties are divided, and therefore cannot see God. The pure in heart is closely related to faith in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." There are no hidden agendas when the heart is pure. There is no ulterior motive in service to the Master. It's focused on one clear objective: to glorify Him alone. Is there a singleness of purpose? Read what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither the moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. And so then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." When was the last time you tried to walk in two directions at the same time? We try to do that spiritually. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 reminds us, "Do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but it's from the world." Our purity of heart is threatened by anything that causes us to lose our first love relationship with the Lord God. The Hebrew prophet Jeremiah said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Our trouble is in the heart. It is wicked and it is deceitful. How do we lose our first love? Anytime we love money or things more than the Lord, we break our fellowship with Him. Sinful, forbidden cravings and lust can capture your first love relationship. You can fall in love with what you have, or with what you are, or what you are able to do. And when our love is not pure toward God, our fellowship with Him is broken. Our fellowship with other believers reflects our relationship with the Lord God. Jesus demanded that we have pure hearts, open, honest, genuine, nothing hidden, with sincerity of single-mindedness. Can you give some examples of such people? The Bible is filled with examples of those who loved him with all the heart. We have already noted Moses, who by faith left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27. Isaiah the prophet experienced inner cleansing. The prophet Isaiah saw a thrice holy God sitting on the throne of eternity. Isaiah described his personal experience. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, and with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out. And while the temple was filling with smoke, and then I said, Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I have lived among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with the tongs, and he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. Isaiah experienced the cleansing of his heart by the Lord God. The Apostle John helps us to understand who Isaiah saw in John chapter 12, verse 41. The Apostle John tells us these things Isaiah said because he saw his glory and he spoke of him, referring to the pre-incarnate Word of God, Jesus Christ. David experienced a catharsis in his own heart. Arjun said, Every sin stains the soul. And King David is the only person in the Bible who is described as a man after God's own heart. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22. When we turn to the Psalms, we see the man who saw God in his heart because God had cleansed him. Psalms 32 and 51 beautifully illustrate the cleansing of the soul. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, in Psalm 32, verse 1. Oh, how blessed many times over, or how blessed many times over, blessing upon blessing upon blessing. We could translate it deeply blessed, satisfied, and marvelously blessed over and over again. And that was Yahweh's cure for David's sin of murder and adultery. Only God can cleanse like that. Psalm 51, King David shares the cleansing of his heart. The imagery is powerful, set against the ugliness of the filthy sin. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin, he tells us in verse 2. We can hear the pounding, the stamping, the vigorous rubbing of the clothes against the stones to loosen up the dirt. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me to know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow, in verses 6 and 7. Only after the cleansing has taken place can you hear the joy and the gladness of his heart. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity, in verse 9. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me, in verse 10. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit, in verse 12. God is not interested in the sacrifices and burnt offerings of modern society. He's not interested in our religious platitudes and intense religious emotions without a pure heart. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise, in verse 17. What God longed for in David's heart is the same thing he desires in us. And then we too, like David, can be glad in the Lord. Rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. Psalm 32, verse 11. This is the theme you'll find throughout the Psalms. Now, what David, a man after God's own heart, was the single-minded focus. He was, as Jesus described, the pure in heart. He loved the Lord God with all of his mind, with all of his heart, with all of his soul. And the Apostle Paul experienced a change of heart. The Apostle Paul saw Jesus as one born prematurely out of time. And after giving evidence of those who saw the resurrected Jesus, the Apostle Paul then says, and last of all, as it were to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9. And when did this happen? Well, Paul tells us in Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 7. Paul was approaching the city of Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and the impact caused him to fall to the ground. He heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless. They heard the voice, but saw no one. Paul alone had an encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and it radically revolutionized his life. From that time on, with singleness of purpose, he lived Christ. He had a singleness of purpose to serve Jesus Christ, and his life was characterized as being in Christ. It was so radical for Paul, he could say, if a man is in Christ, he's a new creature. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And of course, Jesus Christ is our best example of a person who has a pure heart. If we're going to be pure in heart, it means we're going to be like Jesus Christ. He had an undivided heart, and he alone has loved the Lord God with all of his heart and with all of his soul and with all of his mind. Jesus is our best example of a single-minded, pure heart. He was set on doing the will of God at all cost, and he stayed in the shadow of the cross during his whole ministry. Listen to him praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he was facing the cup of the wrath of God the next day, he was praying, Not my will, your will be done. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus got to the heart of our problem when he said to his disciples, Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The psalmist said in Psalm 19, verse 4, Let the words of my heart, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Yes, the spiritually prosperous see God. Jesus said the pure in the heart is given the promise that they will see God. The impure in the heart never see God here or in eternity. God unveils himself to the pure in heart like the Apostle John on Patmos in Revelation. And even now we see a glimpse of him who is invisible. But one day we will see him as he is. The eschatological future is clearly in mind. Those who have been justified by faith in Jesus Christ and cleansed in His precious blood will be ushered into His holy presence the moment they pass from this earthly life. It is our blessed hope to bow in His holy presence, cleansed, washed, and robed in His pure righteousness. Like Moses, we have fleeting shadows of those wonderful experiences of His presence with us. But to see Jesus, to see God as Jesus is in the presence of the Heavenly Father, is impossible for us to experience in this life. It's something that is reserved for that great, wonderful day when we know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. It is available to the believer in the consummation when Jesus Christ comes for us, or we die in Christ. The pure in heart will be ushered into His presence. The pure in heart will see God. They'll see who God is, to see Him in the full radiance of His glory. That possibility is ours. Jesus said it's possible to have a direct, intimate, personal knowledge of God. God is imminent. Wherever we are, God is there. He is at work all about us right now, this very moment, if we have eyes to see Him. And when He has prepared our hearts, He invites us to join Him in what He is doing. We can see Him at work when someone asks us, what makes the difference in our lives? When someone asks us, how can I know Jesus Christ? How can I have this relationship that you have with Him? God's at work when someone asks, how can I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? And God can be seen as He sustains us with His grace in time of our deep personal needs or in a time of crisis. The Holy Spirit bears witness in our hearts of His presence with us. We're never out of His presence anywhere on the face of this earth. Jesus said, I am in you and you in me, are words of encouragement from Jesus Christ to every believer. The Apostle Paul wrote, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. The child of God who has a pure heart has nothing to hide, nothing to defend, and nothing to explain. He is free to be honest and open, genuine and transparent with God and with men. His face is unveiled before God and people. He advances from glory to glory, until that blessed day when Jesus Christ comes and He is like Him through all eternity. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. What is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you anxiously anticipating the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you ready for Him to come? If He were to come right now, this very moment, if He were to knock on your door right now and say, it's your time, are you ready to come to Him? What is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith and trust in Him as your personal Savior? And if you never have, right now is the time for you to trust in Jesus Christ, to acknowledge to Him that you're a sinner, that you're lost, that you've failed to be what God wants you to be, and that God, in His rich, tender mercies and grace, send His Son to die for you on the cross and rise from the dead. And right now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today.